Welcome to the Accelerating Operational Performance Podcast. I'm Greg Schenkel, the president of Unique Training and Development at Frontline Leadership Systems. And of course, we're trying to achieve a couple of main objectives with our podcast. One is to help you accelerate some of the results that you want to see in your business enterprise or the value that you bring in your position. We also, of course, want to give you some tools to get more done with less stress and achieve some of the career progress and success that you want in your job function, both the current one and the one that you aspire to. Now, today's guest is a client of ours, a past client of ours, Ken Rohmine, who is the president of Moore Response Management. And so I've got just a couple of notes I want to read to make sure I do Ken justice. Ken is a highly motivated and results-driven executive leader. I know him also to be very active on LinkedIn if you get to connect with him. And so he's been doing that for over two decades of experience in business operations, particularly within the nonprofit sector. So Moore Response Management really adds value to not-for-profits in terms of helping them manage their fundraising systems. So he's a great asset if you're in that business. He has a remarkable ability to analyze and interpret operational data, translating it into actionable insights. Ken's true strength lies in his talent for building high-performing teams and implementing efficient systems. He's a master at finding innovative solutions that streamline operations, reduce costs, and ultimately boost the bottom line. I know I'm excited to hear some of his insights today. And Ken, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And I just wanted to share with people that right up front, if you want to connect with Ken, it's moorerm.com. But he also has his own website at kenrohmine.net. So you can get in touch with Ken in either of those two ways. So Ken, I was really excited. I know that we did work with you probably a little more than a year ago. And I remember at that time being impressed with how you'd been running your business. And so I was curious if you don't mind telling people a little bit about the journey that you took from, you know, some of your earlier postings and work that you did to where you're at as the president. Give us a couple of the highlights.
Yeah, highlight. I joined the military at the age of 18, went on. Then they actually taught me a lot while I was in. Did about 20 years there. Throughout the whole time there, they called me the fixer. Like every 2 years, I would do something, get into the operational mindset. Okay, I'm done here, and then I got to go on to my next place. So throughout those time frames, I actually learned and understood all the operational effectiveness, how to get people motivated, how to actually relate to extreme diverse organization. Because when you change something so fast, every few years, you kind of have to start back over again. And when I retired from the military, I actually went and worked for the nonprofit sector because my goal was, in the long run, figure out how we can help people. In the long run, you just want to help people. And then so I figured, you know, I learned that you had to have money to be able to help people. So I've spent a few years in a nonprofit organization, learned that tremendously. And then I was recruited and asked to come join this organization I'm at now. And just to make, like you said, help people grow, identify business leaders, identify workforce efficiencies, and, you know, just build that bottom dollar and the bottom line up.
Ken, maybe to help people understand better, I just wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what are the services that Moore Response Management delivers to its customers?
Sure, that'd be great. Good background is that we're part of the Moore Enterprise, have over 50 locations across North America, which help all the nonprofits grow through fundraising and marketing and, you know, television. They have numerous agencies, and in the background, we have all these facilities that actually produce the material. In my line of work, we have three facilities that actually bring in the donations that an individual has donated. You get something in the mail that one of our facilities has mailed out on behalf of a nonprofit, and my organizations bring it in and put that money into their bank. But what's most crucial, and besides putting their money in the bank, is actually identifying the data aspects that come in. For instance, that you get a donation, but on it actually has a campaign number and how much was donated and when it was donated and that donor. And so all of that, all those data points need to be accurate as possible, and putting a bank and a data center over efficiently and timely. These are aspects of three locations that probably put in about $3 billion of donation a year.
Wow.
So we have over 300 clients that use our facilities and services. Mm-hmm. It's not like a bank because a typical bank has they deposit a check and a remittance form, and they typically only deal with remittances from, let's say, your cable bill or something else that you have to pay on. And typically there's an actual known quantity, say your cable bill is $69.99.
Yeah.
So when you scan those documents in, you know, you take a check or the cost and say $69.99. So you know that money's there, right? So it's $69.99, keep it going. You don't need much effort. But when it comes to a donation, you never know how much somebody is donating. It could be $0 to $3,000. And
right.
those efficiencies have to be put in place fast.
Right. So it's a very, people probably now can appreciate, it's a very complex business. So you really partner alongside those not-for-profit and charitable organizations and manage everything that they need, from how to solicit the donations to actually receiving the donations on their behalf, reporting all that out, tracking the performance of the various campaigns, informing that to help with the next campaign and make it even more effective. So that's awesome. Thanks for walking us through that. And I know you said you were a fixer back in your military days, and I'm sure you bring a bit of that talent with you now. I'm wondering if you could share, was there something specifically of a win that you reflect on? Well, maybe actually I want to back up just a bit. Because most people, when they first start out, they don't always have as much self-confidence as they later get. And usually it's because after you've driven success, you kind of get this feeling like, I got something here, I got this. And I'm wondering whether there's an accomplishment or something in your career where it was really the turning point that said, I got something here, that helped you become confident.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to be a little truthful here because I'm just a very blunt person. I joined the military because I honestly just wasn't a good kid. You know, there wasn't really much lined up. My school, I did graduate, loved school, but I went there primarily not for the right reasons. So joining the military, I thought that it was going to be harder than what it was. And actually, the first thing that I remember being taught was, I was in about 6 months and I was told that you're not going to last here. We're going to get you out soon because you're not doing right. You know, you're probably the same way you were in high school, acting up.
Oh, wow.
But I had to learn, you know, what respect was a little bit towards people. I had to learn what responsibilities were. When you're younger, it's easier just to try to take care of yourself, right?
Yeah.
I had a very good friend of mine, and I appreciate her so much. She sat me down and said, hey, look, they're going to kick you out unless you don't do these few things. She says, the military is very simple. You just got to do well on your PT test, be respectful to others, and take initiative. Do those three things and you can excel. So I said, well, what do you mean? She says, okay, right now you're really good at PT. Everybody likes that. Your physical training is a great. So you're good at that. Now you just got to understand respect for other people inside of itself, not just rank or anything else, just respect for other people. You're not the only one that's here. And I said, okay, I thought I was, but I learned that you're not, because you're always, if you're trying to be a little selfish on the outcome, then you're not actually respecting other people. You're still being selfish. So I took those words to heart. And then when she was talking about initiative, mind you, I was 18 or 19 years old at this time, 19 years old at this time. And she says, so you want to learn your job. Don't just go to work, go to learn, you know, see what you can do better. When you do things like ask for others to do, like, hey, just don't go to work 9 to 5. Ask what else you can do throughout the day. Ask what else you can do throughout the week. Ask how this lines up for your performance. And people will respect that. So that didn't take me too long. I didn't get kicked out. But those three things that she set me down and said, just do, I did. And I learned from her for a few years, probably about a year and a half under her. And then I actually just soaked in everything she was teaching me. And that's how I took that one life lesson. And I taught that same life lesson as I kept on and getting experienced. I was ultimately in charge of a small group of people at a very young age, probably about 20. You know, after that, I did really well at the military and just kept getting promoted. And because, you know, like I said, you just do the right thing and take initiative. And that's how you learn and grow. And you just keep doing that and just keep advancing through levels.
Awesome. Well, I think there's actually several lessons in there besides your own. Thanks for being so transparent. I think if someone's listening or watching this, what they'd probably get from that is even when you're off track, first of all, do you have someone in your life who can be a truth teller to you, but in a supportive way? And I think realize that leaders are often put in that position with people who might report to them. And so just because you see someone struggling doesn't mean you should necessarily write them off, but maybe there's a teachable moment in there. And you can't assume that just because they're not in the right mindset or skill set to succeed right now, you can't assume that that's unfixable or unchangeable. So I think that that's an interesting way of paying it forward, even if the person ultimately isn't successful, because that could have gone the other way. She might have brought that to your attention and you might have just dismissed it at the time because you weren't ready. But somewhere down the road, those kind of things that people say to you eventually shift your thinking and your mindset towards it. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. I wondered then if I think this is a great segue to just talk about how leadership impacts operational performance and success. And I wondered if you have a take on that.
So I do have a large, because, you know, discussing with you earlier on in times, it's when you don't have an effective leadership or an outline or people to make those decisions, the organization ultimately loses morale and ultimately loses sight of what the outcome should be. If you don't have an effective leader to stand up, to say, hey, go look at this, or to have a little bit of experience to take into, you know, this the measures of what could and couldn't be based on data. Mm-hmm. You got to put everything in perspective and then make a decision of everything. And then when you talk about leadership abilities, the effectiveness of it is being able to do that transparently. You say, hey, here's where we said we were going to be. The truth is we're not there. What can we do to get there? Yeah. Or if we don't have the accurate communication, we have to stop, figure out why we don't have the accurate communication. And when you're trying to teach individuals that is probably one of the hardest things to teach is the lack of communication, because they take it personal sometimes, or the lack of training. But I did train them. Well, how many times did you train them? Right. Did you check on their training? Did you go back and inspect their training?
Right.
You know? And I think that's where some of it like stems from, just the personal aspect of your individual think it's bad to have these conversations, but it's actually a really great thing to have these conversations because it's communication and transparency. You can train an employee today on a machine, brand new, right? And they can get it for that day, because you taught them a skill, that one skill for that day.
Yep.
And then the next day you think they have it, it's good to go. But the next day they come in, something has changed just a little bit because it's a new aspect or something. And then you think they should comprehend it. But no, that's not true. It takes a little bit. You got to keep going back. Let them ask questions. Let them dive into the whys. One of the long-term things that the military change was when I was younger, and it was just like, don't ask questions, just go do it.
Right.
And I was always the asker, like, hey, hold on. You want us to go build this hole or dig this hole? How big does the hole got to be?
Yeah.
Like 2x4. What is the purpose of the hole? If we did it, does it need to be covered, or what is the outcome? You know, not just go dig a hole, you know? And then now the transparency and the ability to have individuals ask you the why, I think is extremely important in leadership, because you have to know why. You have to know what the outcome is. And if somebody's asking you, and if you can answer that question and give them a good transparent answer, they know they're going to be set up for success.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that, because It's funny how many things go back to fundamentals, even though, you know, we tend to surround them with a lot of nuances. So what you're really saying is the leader's job primarily is, first of all, to clarify expectations. So here's what we need to have done, and also why it's important. The leader's job is to provide the resources, tools, environment, situation where the person can achieve success. And then probably the leader's job is to provide the feedback, which could include training, just in general, how to help someone improve their performance, the support that they need, the kudos when they deserve it, right? So that really it's those three things repeated over and over again, clarifying the expectations, providing the necessary tools and resources for success, and then the feedback. And so now knowing that one of the ways that organizations will improve their efficiencies is they'll use like tools around lean and continuous improvement, 5S, and, you know, it's very easy initially to be enamored by the tools themselves, as if I got this brand new power tool, so I'm going to go around and just cut lots of stuff up. Well, I'm not sure that's why, you know, you don't need to use that tool all the time. You might misuse it. It's really used for a certain application. I'm curious how you've kind of approached the idea of lean and efficiencies and continuous improvement and even all the fancy tools that are available to do that. What's your thinking around that?
Well, I think that in any business, you have to identify efficiencies. And typically those efficiencies come through data or ideas that your employees may have. Some of the things that, you know, you have a lean or a Sigma individual come in and teach a class or give you some advice, and or you say you take it. Some of the issues that are there is if there's a lack of support. You know what the outcome is supposed to be, but if you don't have buy-in by your managers or your leaders that work directly for you, then it's not going to turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. So before you do any of those changes, you have to make sure you have a buy-in through your leadership as well. Because if you don't have a buy-in, then the employees are going to not have a buy-in. And then all of a sudden, what you think is going to happen, those stats are going to get skewed just because of a lack of buy-in. The other thing is we expect things to happen overnight. Oh, this cool new mechanism is going to come in and it's going to do great things for us. And then all of a sudden, when it doesn't immediately show, then we have a tendency to go back and go back to the old method, right? Instead of actually identifying what happened. Well, okay, well, did we put the wrong thing in? Was integration inaccurate? Did we actually give them a good scope of what was needed? And most of that has happened. This item could have been so great for us, but because we didn't give it a chance or a good worthwhile try, it ended up being scrapped. And a good example is that we purchased some machinery that was supposed to go 10 times faster, cost us a little bit more, but saved on two people labor. And then, well, it wasn't working immediately because of data, internet infrastructure, and then it was running slow, and then nobody could figure out why, and then the employees got, you know, bad morale, and the leadership wasn't with it. So we didn't scrap it. We started over. I said, you know what, let's just start over from the get-go, figure out what the issues were. You got one machine that's doing half of it. It's costing you 2-3 people a day. We got this brand new machine that should be doing 1.5 times of that, and it's going to cost you a person. Let's go ahead and re-implement it. Let's see what we did wrong the first time. And then the minute it was literally like you should unplug something and plug it back in, and then it started working. It is, oh, here we go. It was this one little thing. Yeah. But if we would have gave up on it, we would have still lost those man hours, the cost of the machinery. So never give up until you actually try.
I love it.
And relook at things sometimes.
So I think you make a good point around, and it's also important to have that level of persistence as well. When you look at all the different functions and inside the business, and you look after three different sites within your business. Again, we're talking with Ken Romine, who is the president of Moore Response Management. And of course, you can check out Moore at moorermg.com, or Ken's got his own site called kenromine.net. So I know that he'd love to connect with you. Well, one of the things, Ken, knowing that there's these different departments, you know, one could say silos in some cases, but just even just the functional departments that are necessary to deliver an impact to the customer. I'm wondering what you've noticed about how those sometimes get out of alignment with each other, or and how do you ensure that they sort of, even though they have their own objectives and things, that they stay aligned with the overall goals in the operation?
There's numerous things that you have to always keep your eye on when it comes to leadership and managing personnel. You can have all these departments that are in it for the greater good, you know. And I bring up the team scenario. You can't win a game if you don't have teamwork. Not one person's going to do it all. If one person's always going to do it all, then guess what? That person's going to get tired out. So you have to have good people on your team. That's first and foremost. And to identify the departments, each department should have their priorities set in order to increase the mission at the end of the day. But that all comes with communication of where we're at. So all these departments are there for a greater good, to accomplish the mission. And in production, one leads to the next. Or if you don't do this, then this doesn't happen. So there always has to be really good communication, understanding that maybe the data department is going to, the priority there today isn't going to be as high as the priority to open things, you know, the machine department, because you got to have a ton of stuff that's coming in. And as long as we actually identify those things timely and work together as a team, you can actually have a really good result. It's when those teams aren't talking to each other that things seem to fall and it becomes siloed. And then you think you're doing well over here. Meanwhile, the operational side nothing's happening because you actually didn't do something 2 days ago because it wasn't a priority for you, but it actually was a priority for them because not having something set up prevents them from operating. So
yeah.
Communication
so
is
was
key.
I was thinking as you said that. So what that says is if you notice there's this lack of alignment, instead of assuming that people are undermining each other, which would be the evil intent interpretation, why not just assume that there was a lack of communication? And so in our communication module that we do in frontline leadership, we talk about really there's two indicators as to whether the communication is effective. If you're the sender, it's whether the other person or department did what you wanted them to do when you wanted them to do it, you know, to the level of quality that you were hoping for. If you're on the receiving end, is did you know what you needed to know when you needed to know it to be able to do what was expected of you? So it's really this no surprises policy and communication. So if in my department, if I didn't communicate to the other department leader or personnel, there's a good chance they're going to let me down because they didn't know. And so you're just saying step one is make sure people know what they need to know. And, you know, you have to watch that you don't over-communicate because sometimes people get lost in the detail, but just the key information that they needed to deliver on. I'm sure that was key in the military too, is that people needed to know the right signal at the right time to do what was expected of them. I mean, you have your share of younger folks that come through. I'm getting to be seasoned myself, so it's like now I feel like part of it is trying to offer some degree of wisdom and experience to the younger folks. Maybe first is, what is your take about this multi-generational, getting the most out of young people? Do you have your own sort of sense of that? Is the changing demographics of the workforce and what we have to do about that?
Yeah, it goes back to something I mentioned earlier. It's the why. You know, it's the... Everything now is kind of a why-based. We all were never the same before. We were always the same person. We always had different ways to learn. We always have different ways to communicate. And I think it should be two-way. It's where the individual is at now. Let's say the younger generation and even the older generation, say you and I. We actually have to learn the way they communicate. And they actually have to learn the way we are communicating. The whole saying that an email in black and white can mean 9 million things, right?
Yeah.
But if you actually have a conversation and if you get to know the way this individual communicates or what some sayings are, then you can probably as a person identify what they're truly talking about. My son came to me, my younger son, he's 21 years old. And there's two things he pointed out. And he's like, well, we use different terminology for different things, Dad. And I said, okay, I know. I'm not hip with the new words and stuff. the word cap, like you're, that's cap or whatever. That actually means you're lying. That's not true.
Okay.
Right. And I'm like, Oh, okay. That's what that means. So, you gotta, he's 21. I got a lot of individuals that's between the age of 17 and 21 out there on these production planes. You got to understand that we're not all the same. And my thumbs up as an older individual means good to go. Come to find out, if you look at what a thumbs up means from somebody else, it means whatever, get out of here. It's like, yeah. So we've actually used it, but they do it in more of a different manner. I'm saying, hey, that's good. And they're looking at me like, you don't care what I'm saying. So
Interesting.
we have
By the way,
to keep learning.
I've just learned something. I
So
mean, the reality is I didn't even know that. I knew that from a multicultural standpoint, there's definitely even more so expressions that mean different things. So, but what you're saying is you might be accidentally committing a communication gaffe because how the other person interprets what you said is different from what you had intended. But again, you get that more if you have a conversation. Right. So I love that. And so if I piggybacked on that, and again, so much the theme, every podcast episode we do has a bit of a theme. Today's theme is definitely going to be around communication, I think.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if this will color the next answer. So I'm wondering, you're giving some coaching, let's say, to someone who's either younger or newer in their operational management journey. They're currently a team lead or a supervisor or maybe a department manager, but they aspire to someday become maybe a general manager, a president, or a vice president. And I'm wondering, what advice would you give them? And maybe it's the same advice that woman gave to you when you were in the military, but what advice would you give to somebody who's trying to think about their own career progression?
Well, wherever you're at, whatever job you're doing, you should always, I always tell them, strive to know everything and be the best, right? Be the best at it. Now, you can't really sometimes identify how you're better than anybody else, right? But you can come to work, you can do hard work, and you can take some initiative. What I tell the junior individuals is be patient. Just be a little patient. Let's learn, let's work together. And regardless of age or experience, we all bring something to the table. Don't worry about failing. Bring it to the table. Let's try something. Let's fail together. Let's learn. That is now experience. I find that a lot of people are actually afraid to fail when they're failing every day and they don't even realize it. It's just not brought up. If we actually stop and identify everything we mess up every day, there's a lot we fail at, typing or verbs or things like that. But if you actually want to grow, you actually just learn from the people around you, be a little patient, and come with a plan sometimes. If you think you know something, don't be afraid to show it. Come up, hey, here's how I think we can do this a little faster. Here's how I think we can do this a little better. Or hey, this over here is looking like it's a little slow. Bring it up now. Those are the individuals that I can see that are starting to learn, identifying what's around them, using the individuals, using the resources, actually wanting to make a difference.
So I think you raise a good point. I never thought of it this way, is that if I could contribute something, but I'm holding back either because I'm afraid that it might be the wrong thing, or you're saying, the old adage is you're either winning or you're learning, and sometimes you're doing both at the same time. But there's always something that can be gained even from the mess ups. But if people are holding back and not taking the chance to raise something that could make the organization more successful, even though you're not sure if it's the right answer. But even if you shared something that turns out to be something that the organization has done many times before and determined it's not successful, it's your opportunity to hear that lesson explained to you, or maybe to have it revisited because things have changed that might make it successful this time. So I just love that idea of this idea of being showing the initiative, asking questions, offering suggestions and solutions, this idea that you're just there to add value. And the value that you add is through your contribution that could help the organization go forward or might turn into a learning opportunity. So I really, really enjoy that. I wondered, Ken, I know we're getting towards the end of the interview. I just wondered, is there something else that you'd wanted to share with people as either a form of advice or something that you've learned and picked up over the years?
Yeah, there's a few things, and I appreciate you allowing me to speak. I want everybody to look at people with a little bit of empathy. When you have issues on your plant floor, let's ask those questions of why. let's ask the questions of what is preventing this individual from getting to work on time? Let's ask those questions. Why is this individual not performing today versus why they were performing yesterday? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself some of those questions in your life. Like, do some comparisons. Are you always in a good mood? No. Are you always doing the best thing? No. Do you fail in life? Yes. So use a little bit of empathy when you make some of these decisions. Teach it to your young managers as well. And I always go back to this. It's, you can expect something to happen every day, but if you don't inspect it, then guess what? You don't know if it's truly happening. Every leadership should do that at every level. I don't care if you're brand new assistant manager, 21 years old out there. If you teach somebody something, go back and make sure they know it's on it. I don't care if you're the operations manager, if you're telling somebody something and you expect it always to get done timely, then but you're not looking at it, then you never know. Even to the CEOs, all of you that are in some kind of executive, just because people are doing something, you should always go back, always, and say, how did you come to that conclusion? Even though you may think they're right. You may think they're right, everything's running smooth, but maybe the conclusion is wrong. Because they did something wrong, but you don't know. And then,
by,
you know.
By the way, before you go on to that, and then you'll have that one last point, I think, is just I wanted to recap that because I think people have maybe heard the expression, you get the lower of what you expect, inspect, or accept. And so I think it's really, you're just saying it's always good to go back and see. And, you know, something that people don't even do around projects and things is they don't really do a good job at the end, really taking a look at what went well, what would we do better or different next time. So this idea of inspecting is not because you don't trust people. It's that you want to, in fact, if anything, it shows that you do trust them and that you think what they're doing is important, that it's important enough that you wanted to see how it turned out. And one thing that people have said is that if your boss just muses and throws out a bunch of stuff, but never asks you about it again, never follows up with it, a lot of people get cynical and go, I guess that really wasn't that important. And then now I don't know what is important versus what isn't important. And sorry, I interrupted you there on your final point.
Yeah, that's good. That's very, very good elaboration.
So empathy, the idea of inspecting and checking in on things to make sure they're going well. And again, not as a gotcha moment, but just as a verification process and just to make sure that it's meeting your expectations. And then was there anything else that you wanted to share?
The last point I make to every leader that I come across that asks me is that you can sit there and, oh, you got me. I had it right here in my head.
That's okay.
Oh,
that's
okay. So if you don't, you can, as a young leader, we think we know everything and you should grow up at some point in time. And we can kick and scream or yell and get upset all we want, right? But if you don't do nothing about it, then you just did that for nothing. Yeah. When I was in the military, one of the last things I think I was taught as a young leader was the whole saying, the pen is mightier than a sword at times. And when it comes to operational effectiveness and leadership, you can kick and scream all you want, but you got to go back and write it down. You got to go back and have something that says, here's what we should do again, or here's what happened today. And it's okay to give that to people. It's okay to say, here's how you did it, or write this down. Because at some point in time, if you don't write anything down, then it's all going to come back on you in the end. Yeah. Write it down, show them. And then I think they'll expect that.
Yeah, I think that's a great lesson. And as you might remember in the frontline leadership, even just the basics of circulating around to your team and checking in on them, if they bring something up, you should be jotting that down as well. So things that are in writing are powerful, which means be careful at what, you know, what you're saying in writing because they can be lasting things. But it is still, it's not to shy away from. It's something that you use as a tool in leadership that cements the thing that we were talking about and makes it more tangible and real because we wrote it down. So
it's the good, bad, and ugly. It could be a great thing. Write it down. Show them it's great. Yeah. This is what's bad. And then if you don't do this, there's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
It's just training. Make sure you have that constant communication.
Awesome. So I just wanted to say, first of all, I hope as a listener, as a viewer, you see the kind of wisdom that Ken Romine brings, and also just get a feel for the journey. So depending where you're at in your own journey, you know, it takes some seasoning, and I always think everyone smartens up over time. Not to say that we ever get to genius level, but we get to the point where we're going. It's still a continuous learning. If you do want to, Ken is the president of Moore Response Management. And of course, the website for Moore, if you're in the not-for-profit or charitable sector, is moorermg.com. Ken can be seen on LinkedIn. He's very good at posting very helpful things if you connect with him on LinkedIn. And you can also visit him at kenromine.net. Ken, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I know people will gain a lot from the wisdom that you've shared.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us again on the Accelerating Operational Performance podcast. Remember that the work that we do for many of the people that we have as guests is to develop their frontline leadership skills, their middle management skills, and now their senior leadership skills at the operational level. So you can, of course, check us out and what we offer at uniquedevelopment.com. For now, I'll just say, wishing you the best success in your operational and leadership journey.